Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Right, well, welcome to our third edition of the...
Second video
here, Cabin Country, the podcast. Glad to have you on hand. I'm Bjorn Lloydstad, and of course, Fudd Klugman to my left, your right.
Got your coffee?
Got your coffee mug out. Can't start the show without a hot blast of Java.
That's right. Winter's finally caught up with us here. It's been slow in coming. No snow. Pretty warm temperatures up until just till recently.
Till recently, and we find ourselves in the deep freeze. And it's a cool one outside, Fudd, to be sure.
Yeah, we're looking at highs minus below zero in a few days here. It's because we just had a little bit of snow, and that's the way it happens here in the upper Midwest, Minnesota. It always has a blizzard move through, a snowstorm, and then there's this vortex, this polar vortex that
immediately
comes
cooling off.
But
very cold.
It's all right. You know, this time of year as well, my wife was just telling me that yesterday, Monday, like the, I don't know, was it the 18th? I'm not sure, of January, is called Blue Monday. Apparently, it's like the most depressing Monday of the year.
Because,
wow. Because it's after the holidays, and it's the middle of winter, and we got a long way to go, but...
Very cold. Well, last night was marked, too, by a... super moon.
Oh, yeah.
That they were also labeling a blood moon and a wolf moon. So
yeah.
I took it upon myself to stand in our dining room windows and howl.
All right.
Excellent. Fact. And then there was a moon eclipse, a lunar eclipse, which if you were looking outside at about 10 o'clock last night, you saw the moon kind of disappear.
Did you watch it?
I did. Oh. I did. And it slowly came back and... had all the younger members of the house going, ooh, ah, wow, I'll get off the couch. I'm going to lay down again. All right.
That's interesting.
Indeed.
I only saw it earlier in the evening when it was just a big, pale gold disc in the sky. It was beautiful, but
gorgeous.
I didn't stay up to, well, I think I was up. I just didn't peer out the window
right.
at it. So
right. I remembered, so I had a look, and sure enough, it was just disappearing. And then it came back.
So, yeah, it was beautiful. I mean, so why be so blue?
You know? Why so, be so blue? Days are getting longer. Won't
yeah,
be long
slowly but surely.
Summer comes.
That's right. I should mention that we've got a special guest here with us in the studio.
Right behind us.
It's my dad's, Fudd Sr.'s, Hams Beer Light. And it was his father's before him, my grandpa's. You can probably hear the hum, the steady hum that goes from the fluorescent bulbs behind it.
Absolutely.
So that's okay. We'll think of it as a comforting
absolutely.
Sound.
Somebody somewhere is ordering a yet another Hams.
Right. Somewhere. Well, one of the things we do this time of year to try to combat, cabin fever or the midwinter blues is to...
Blase.
They always have several shows going on in the Twin Cities. And we just paid a visit to the 49th annual Sportsman's Show.
The Sportsman's Show.
Was it 2 weeks ago now?
Two weeks.
We were there, and
yes.
It was before the real winter hit. So here's Bjorn and I walking in on a very balmy afternoon, a Sunday afternoon.
Short sleeves.
Right, pretty much.
Unseasonably warm.
So, you're carrying your box.
I had the toolbox in hand.
And met up with Mr. Mike Lehan.
Mike Lehan.
So now, other than me encouraging you to come, what brought you here?
My wife and I are looking at a bunch. She can't handle the BS.
Yeah.
So she goes off. She's looking for an upgrade to her trailer. And we always dream about a pontoon and new motor on the little boat.
Yeah. So nice.
I love it.
I wanted to see. I don't know if you did. You walk past the ice fishing houses? There, I can't believe. I mean, do you have one like that?
No, I'm a pop-up man. I like to stay mobile.
Oh, right.
Let's get a new stretch of ice under you in case there's nothing light.
I wanted to take a look at some of the interiors of those. Are just amazing. They'd be good.
Here.
Yeah?
Go have a look.
All right, let's
lead on.
Check it out. All right. I first wanted to take a look at these ice houses. They're just unbelievable. I think these are kind of the most popular things right now.
Yeah. Well, my buddy up in Mille Lacs has something very similar. And his has the totally self-contained reels on the walls, motorized. You get a bite and it just starts reeling it in for you.
Oh.
You don't even need to.
I like the.
Someone might say that takes half the fun out of it. Like, but
they're a great family thing. If you, they're just not flexible.
Bunk up here and look at the. Oh, I think this is wallpaper here on the side here. Yeah. Oh, but it's just so, you know. Well designed. It's beautiful.
He likes this.
And then down here we.
That's cool.
Ooh, look at that.
So you could have several lures in the water at any given time here.
So do you drill from inside a court when you're in?
Yeah, that's what the electric augers are good for.
Oh, okay.
Or you set it down, you set it over, make a pattern, pull it off, drill a hole.
I see.
So is this a refrigerator over here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Wow.
A range. Good Lord. Let's get a pot of chili going.
Excuse me. Wait a minute. There's not a door here. I was hoping
sorry,
I could
Fudd, not,
quick
not
go here, buddy.
You got to come out of there.
Right. I'm afraid of.
Come on now.
No.
A bigger sink than I have at home.
Wow.
That's nuts. Splashback.
Pretty crazy. Amazing.
That's crazy.
More than all the comforts of home. I mean, they had bathrooms and showers and
bunks.
Yeah, bunks.
Heating controls, full kitchen, bathroom, the whole bit, and then about 10 areas on the floor where
right.
You pulled a piece of the flooring out. There was your ice.
Yeah,
that thing you're going to fish through.
In the floor that you go in there.
And
you fish down
tip
there.
Up. And yes, so you had 10 places to carve ice out and then have a fishing hole. And inside the 75 degree warmth.
Not only that, but there's like a little light positioned just above where the hole is. So you
right.
can, of course, see what you're catching. So I don't know what the average cost of these things were. I thought I saw, let's see, on the low end, $15,000. But I think we're talking more like the $35,000 for these. So I don't know. I we're saving up more for a boat. And I don't know if we're going to be getting one of those. But it sure is fun to look around in those. Yeah.
The irony of walking into one of those places and running into our old friend,
Scotty Cummins.
There he was.
From the Gail Whitman Show. I don't know if anybody remembers. Gail Whitman.
Scotty Cummins. Well, How you doing?
Good to see you.
How the heck are you?
You know, I'm really good. It's a good show. You guys enjoying it? There's so much to see, and I just, you know, I step foot in this place, and I just can't believe what they do with these things right now.
It smells like a cabin.
But that particular fish out smelled like fresh cut lumber.
It did. It did. Well,
pine paneling.
New construction and
beautiful.
Reminded me of the cabin.
Beautiful.
It had that.
Smelled like a freshly built cabin in the middle of the North Woods.
Yeah, that's nice.
Sitting at the table, just reminiscing about some of his past experiences.
Because I remember an old episode with you and Gail making a
Gale Whitman,
a homemade version.
Gail Whitman, poor soul, has gone to the other side. And do you remember what he used to do? So, you know, he didn't like all the new fancy schmancy stuff, you know, so he would just start to build a thing in his garage.
Right.
You know, we tried to tell him, you know, it's maybe time to move on, but yeah, he just built this structure out of tarpon wood. And
that's right.
Did we ever fish in that thing?
Duct tape.
Yeah, some duct tape, too.
Gail Whitman, you know, he always liked to go to the ice fishing show that they have every year.
He did.
Probably the same location. And I think he was envious of all that equipment.
Pretty neat stuff. Technicolor. Look at these nice little things. Howdy.
Hello there. How are you today?
I'm Gail Whitman. I'm sure you've seen me on TV.
What TV channel is that, Gil?
You don't know it?
No?
Guys, look at the way this thing is built. Good wind would blow it away. It's a fish house?
Well, sure. Don't you have one?
What the heck do you need that for? Yeah,
well,
I got a fish
out.
House, but I don't have anything that like this.
Go on in. Check it out, Gil.
What the
Is that
heck?
Gil or Gale?
Gil was a guy, too, who thought, this is wonderful, and for $15,000 to $30,000, I could enjoy something like this, but by gad, I've got two hands, creative mind,
yeah.
A jigsaw, plywood, some tarpaulin, and a little bit of duct tape, and I can match this.
Now, you might be pulling a 35-pound muskie through the ice, so you better make the hole in the floorboard big enough. Now, I found this here plate from my second from down in the cellar. Now, let's see. Okay, get all the way around here. There. Now, if this hole isn't big enough, you better cut the line and run like hell. Well, let's get started cutting the hole. Cut!
Where'd it go, Dad?
Yeah.
How do we get in? How do you get in?
So he put something together, which is, you know, I mean, if you remember the Schmidt Scenics beer can from Bjorn's collection, all you need is an auger and your jiggle stick and, you know.
Maybe a 5-gallon bucket to sit on.
Right. So, but that's all right. It's fun to have something extravagant, but Gale thought you didn't really need all that, so.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, reminiscing with Scotty Cummins and some of his adventures he had in the Gail Whitman Show were pretty interesting.
Well, he brought up the wolf episode.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Do you remember the wolf?
I remember the wolf.
The wolf?
He
and I became pretty close.
Special episode, I think, on hypothermia.
Most unbelievable adventure I just had. I think we can use this for this really happened
really?
Segment. Oh, absolutely. I was up at the Gunflint Trail, and I was following the trail of a beaver.
Yeah.
Fresh, chew on the trees.
Yeah.
And I came across a spot that I thought, maybe if I could just hunker down for a little while, he can't see me there.
Yeah.
I'll see him come to the beaver dam, his home.
Yeah.
And I fell asleep. Yeah. But wouldn't you know it, next thing I know, I hear this kind of chipping and cracking and tree fell right hit me on the head.
Oh!
I must have been out for about 3, maybe 4 hours. I couldn't tell.
Oh, yeah.
I woke up and kind of rambling around, feeling a little, well, my head hurt real bad. Probably a slight concussion from the tree. Yeah.
Tree.
And also the beginning stages of hypothermia, I'm sure. A lot of people
That's
make
serious.
The mistake of taking
That's
clothes
serious,
off.
Scott.
I found myself just a little hot and delusional, I suppose, and felt this freedom and naturalness with the woods.
Oh, my God.
I knew I wasn't going to make it back in time in a cabin, or you know, I was kind of lost, so I hunkered down in some leaves and some pine boughs.
Good.
Warmest
good
night's
thinking.
Sleep I've had
good
a long time.
Scotty.
Oh, absolutely. That was great.
Yeah.
Woke up, tap on my shoulder. You know what it was? Not going to believe it. Hmm. Now, this really happened. It was a wolf.
A wolf?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It startled me at first, but he froze.
Really?
I think he was afraid. You know, he maybe thought I was dead.
Oh.
And I grabbed him on the snout.
Yeah,
we had a little wrestle on the ground, and I was able to kind of maneuver him eventually. I got him to calm down.
Yeah.
And I told him, we're friends.
Friends?
Yeah.
Brothers?
Yeah, you and I.
Part of the woods.
Run together.
Yeah.
I said, go find your pack, you know.
Yeah.
And then I sent him off. It was great. So I turned around with just rejuvenation. I couldn't wait
Ted,
to get back to
get
the
all
meeting.
Of this.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
got
this,
it,
this really happened, Sam.
So.
Scotty had a way with animals, or has a way. I don't know, maybe.
Probably still does. He was reminiscing about that. In fact, I think he was still thinking about it as we walked out.
That's right. Left him in sort of a wistful state.
Contemplative state.
Right.
Thinking about his next animal adventure.
Yes.
In the great outdoors.
That was interesting. So we said au revoir to Scotty and continued our... Where else did we go after that? I think that was when we went up the escalator. The lower floor of the Sportsman's Show is filled with all the big campers, all the pontoons.
We could be up and down the length of the Gull River in about 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
And the boats.
Roll off docks,
yeah. And all the big stuff. And that's a real fantasy floor where you're thinking, well, someday. But upstairs, they had smaller things that you could maybe get your hands on, some various lures.
Right.
And, of course, if you wanted to hire a guide or do a fly-in Canada or something.
You'd find resorts.
Yeah, resorts and things like that. And that is where we ran into Steve O'Hearn. Now look at this place.
That is wild.
He's a collector of all kinds of old stuff, and we're hoping that he's going to be able to take a look inside. Well, I mean, look at this. Holy cows. And he wasted no time in looking to see what Bjorn had.
He couldn't quite wait. He was very excited to see what was inside the tackle box.
Well, we don't have that much here, but
this isn't all that interesting, but feel free to have a look.
I'll tell you what you got in here.
Yeah, excellent.
Interesting.
Oh, you push that button and all that. So, this here you got jitterbug.
Yeah.
You still make them. This one's a frog one. They made them with plastic lip during the war.
Okay.
Way more valuable.
Oh, nice.
They also made wood ones with a plastic lip. Way more valuable than that.
Oh, sure.
This here is about a $4 lure today.
Okay.
If you get different hardware that holds these hooks on, then the value goes up. The bodies were wood in the early days.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Very valuable, those ones. Not very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaiian Wiggler. Another Arbogast lure. Probably about $20.
Huh. Cool.
Little poppers run $4 to $6. There's some like these that run $5,000-$6,000.
Is that right?
Wow.
Oh my God.
Depends upon what it is, age, who made it.
Right.
Stuff on the cards always good. Just you can see I got carded stuff all over it.
Oh wow.
The reason, just because people like it on the cards.
Right.
Within the box.
These
Daredevils, everyone loves a red and white or a five of diamonds paint job on them. They catch fish like mad.
Yeah.
There's rare ones of these. A matter of fact, the first box they came out with, one of these I paid $500
for. Oh, really?
Just the box. And lures are nothing. You can get them for $3-4.
Right.
The box is probably worth $5.
Uh-huh.
If it was a two-piece cardboard box, it'd be worth a lot more money.
Right.
As far as value there.
It's not in the right box.
This is a Hidden River Run box. This box is worth $5.
Oh, the box?
It's a box.
Well, there you go. That's cool.
Lazy Daisy, made in Preston, Minnesota. That's this lure right here. Come in that box. It used to be called Lazy Ike, but Lazy Ike was already out, so they sued them, so they had to change the name
to Lazy Daisy. Oh, I see.
There's some hand-painted ones out there that are worth $40-$50, but the particular one with the box, probably $5.
Sure.
Total. Very common in Minnesota. Bring it to California, you get $10, $20, because it's in the box.
Huh. Cool.
Wow.
Famous Johnson Silver Medal, which ain't in here. But what's in here is a Brooks Reaper.
It's
called. And these things are Reaper. These things catch fish like crazy, walleyes.
Oh.
I used to sell them for $5. I think they're probably worth about $10 on eBay now.
Oh, okay.
And then this box would be your typical $3 Johnson Silver Medal box, which there's millions and millions of these out there. There's a two-piece cardboard box, which is more valuable than these boxes.
Right.
Yeah, this is actually made by Johnson Medal, too. Johnson Caper.
This thing seemed to be kind of a...
Yep, that's an Acme Weed Net.
Yeah.
This is what you call a weedless spring-loaded lure. So the fish would bite on it, and the hooks hook.
Right.
And then they're history. They're in the frying pan. So these are from the 40s, 50s. There's some early boxes worth good money. Probably a $10, $5 lure like this. Without the rust.
Right.
Sure, sure.
Not that common.
Yeah, this stuff was well used.
Yep,
I gotta say, my dad.
Common. So
my
this dad, here, a bunch of spoons, and this thing went in this box.
There we go.
Oh, all right. We've accomplished one thing.
For the thing.
Sweet.
Right?
Ooh, wow. Nice. Look at that.
Okay, and here we got another Lazy Daisy in the box. Is this a Buck Perry spoon plug?
Buck Perry.
Famous. He taught people how to structure fish. These things catch fish.
They do catch fish.
And when you're fishing those, your rod's going like this.
Oh, really wobbly.
The shape of it.
It drives fish.
Right.
And your typical everyday $2-$3 spoon.
He was a fan.
Here's a Rebel lure. These are becoming collectible as heck now. They made made some famous lures, these guys. Some of them got like red, white, and blue or Arkansas or something on them. Those sure. are the advertising ones. They're going the nuts roof, on huh? eBay.
Yeah.
Your typical Rapala, $3, you right. know, $2, $3. Uh-huh. There's some earlier Rapalas here. This one's an earlier box. The real early Rapalas, you could see stars in here.
Oh, wow.
And what he did is he used candy wrappers to wrap them, and then he'd dip them over in Finland. Oh, yeah. That was when they ran out of the tinfoil to put inside there.
Okay.
But certain Rapalas are worth good money nowadays. This one's probably $5 because of the old box.
Sure.
How you tell is the writing will be cursive on here, on the lip. It'll yep. be in handwriting, not okay. printing. And those are the earlier ones and the tinfoil. Here you got a typical $95 to $100, depending on who made it.
Right,
you always
right.
find this stuff, and hemostats, and scissors, and pliers.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then all the stuff, other stuff in tackle boxes. We have a list, us collectors, of yeah. like, I don't want to get into it too far, but right. you know, you can yeah. imagine what would be in there.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. What about this old frog?
This is called Spotty the Wonder Frog.
Spotty the Wonder Frog.
Made by P&K.
P&K. P&K.
That's who made it, PK. Spotty the Wonder Frog. They came in a cute little box, and you know, this thing is just, it's cool.
Yeah. yeah.
Most of them are dried up, the feet break off.
That's what surprised
this
me.
This is about a $10 lure, and you might get 15 to someone who collects frogs and wants a PK frog.
Right.
They came in a cute little box, said PK. Spotty the Wonder Frog on it. They also made Softy the Wonder Crab, and they made some other baits like that too. And they did. They made a bunch of stuff, but this is
wow, love it.
That's Spotty the Wonder Frog.
I'm gonna be looking
how old, like
Softy,
what year
crab.
Would you say is
that's
those?
That's 40s.
In the 40s. Okay.
Yep. Spotty.
We were wondering why he had this all-seeing eye on here, but it's Spotty. He's
yep,
Spotty.
He's Spotty the Wonder Frog.
Spotty the Wonder Frog.
He's
yeah.
cool as heck. This is actually a Helen flatfish.
Okay.
And they made these by the millions, like the Lazy Ike. It was kind of a competitor to the Lazy Ike lure.
Okay. Catches other lures
real
well.
$3 to $5 yeah. bucks, you know, $2, sure. $1 a lure. But
right.
They catch fish.
Yeah.
Fish them right, they catch fish.
Man, they got a real goofy wobble under the water.
Yep.
You know?
That's right.
Well, how
so that kind of tells you
fun.
It's a hook sharpener, yeah. kind of neat. They come in a pack, you know, and a lot of them have the common name right. on them. Early ones of these are worth good money.
Like, seen better days,
yeah,
surely.
Yeah, 1890s, they
absolutely.
Made stuff like
cool.
that.
Cool. Well, thank you much.
Wait a minute, though. So, you know, this was reduced at one time to 33 cents. What do
yeah.
you think now would be?
Yeah, I'd give you like 50 cents.
That's 50 cents.
Cash,
though.
Whoa.
We're talking throwing a bar of soap here. So.
I've never seen these long, sticky things.
Yeah, that was a kind of a new one on me, too.
What are the pencil. Plugs.
Oh, pencil plugs.
I can see what they do in there.
Nice. I like this guy, the fin spoon. Look at that.
Look at that sunfish.
Strike Master.
That must
that
be a.
That is a realistic.
That's a mounted
panfish there.
That's probably mounted. That looks pretty real to me.
I love that old South Bend thing back there. That
just, oh, yeah.
It's probably what you'd see in Ebner's if we ever got inside there.
Right.
How are you guys? And he's like one of those behind the counter, you know.
Fish and feel fit. Don't you feel that way, Mike, when you're...
Oh, yeah, we are a lot...
Fish and feel fit.
Right.
Oh, okay. Oh, excellent. Well, gosh, thanks so much, Steve.
Yeah.
It was very, very fun.
I'm excited just to look at anything.
You bet.
Oh, yeah. It's like a little treasure box.
Yeah, thank you much. See you, Steve.
Awesome.
So you're lucky. My dad's tackle box burned up in our machine shed fire in 1965.
You don't want that.
Wow. Oh, man.
I find it interesting that... many of the things that Steve identified in Bjorn's box were things that could be valuable, like the jitterbug, that if it had a plastic lip from World War II,
right.
and if the body was made of wood, oh, we're talking big money, but it's $5 or $10.
Wartime, all the metal gear to keep the treble hooks on.
Oh, yeah.
We needed all that metal. If these were plastic, he even hinted at one point, if these were replaced with plastic, it would be worth an awful lot more. Of course, I started thinking,
so
can I find plastic?
That's funny.
And I quickly let that go, but an interesting idea.
Now, that fly rod you told me
yes.
on our last
yes.
video podcast, you even tried to sell it on eBay.
I did.
But what's funny is now you told me that somebody said how much some of those are potentially worth.
Correct. Yes, if it's the right model, and it's the right era, you might be looking at hundreds to perhaps low thousands of dollars. And then,
good Lord.
As is often the case with things that have come my way. But of course, you've got the original entry level. So I don't know what that's worth. There's a lot of these out there. See what you can scrape up on eBay. And so it was on eBay for a while with the aluminum rod carrying case that saw a lot of use. Two reels. I don't have any flies, and I think that was a potentially kind of a limiting factor. It was no flies to go with it. I think that's where a lot of times the big money is in, you know, hand-tied flies, vintage hand-tied mm-hmm. flies. But I thought, shoot, this is a, you know, original Winsor McGill. It's decades old. It's made out of bamboo. You know, it's all kept together with lacquered, string.
Oh, sure.
Very, very interesting. I've used it. Taught myself how to fly fish with it. Had about the same amount of luck as I did with a Zebco and my Rebel.
Yeah, the Rebel.
Okay. Been a long time.
Although Steve did say that the Rebels are now becoming...
They're collectible.
Collector items, but I did hear Mike Lean whispered behind me, said, no, those are worthless. I mean, not in terms of collector.
They catch nothing.
Value, but yeah, apparently for fishermen.
A pair of pants or a good head cold is what you're going to catch off that.
Yeah, that's funny. So yeah, it was interesting to watch him go through the box and like, wow, that's, in fact, the green popper that you had, he set that down, like some of those go for like several thousand dollars.
Unbelievable.
But I think he priced it, I don't know what he priced it. I do have a tally of what Steve came up with in appraising your box. And
sum total.
By my records, it came to $100.50.
Wow. Wow.
So that's,
it's a new headlight on my Civic.
It's one of those.
Outstanding.
So essentially, it's not worth getting rid of.
No.
Maybe if we keep it for another 50 years.
Yes.
It'll jump up to 200.
Somehow managed to keep the one-eyed wonder frog in good shape for another five
we know what
decades.
It's called.
We might have something.
We did.
Spotty the one-eyed.
Spotty the wonder frog.
The wonder frog.
I thought for sure that Rabla with the Finland printer.
Oh, well, you'd think. And in a box, a cardboard box with the original paperwork.
Well?
It may well have been a lure I caught my dad's pants on at one point. I cranked back and threw for all I was worth, heard a good, hey! Yes. Realized I had my dad by his dress slacks.
By the trousers.
Right by the, look, I will say this much, I'd set a new record for the biggest weight caught that summer. I caught a 180-pound man, followed by a couple of salads, so I won it all. I won it all. We left Mr. O'Hearn and promptly kind of wove our way through all kinds of mini donut stands and corn dog stands, and lo and behold, there was the deer.
Live
three
deer.
Three live deer.
We're going to peel off again here and stare at some deer.
It says that we can pet and take pictures of the bucks for $5 for one person and an extra dollar.
You got to get in there, Fudd, and get licked all over.
I think we both got to get in there.
I don't know, man.
You don't want to get licked on?
Not particularly, no.
Last time I pet a deer, I was about five at Nisswa Park.
Yeah. Okay, so what we got here today?
Oh my gosh.
We have Waldo. Waldo's a 3.5-year-old buck. He scores about 250 inches, and he has about 20 points on his head. Waldo's from Lake Brunson, Minnesota, the northwest corner of the state. And when he was born, he was bottle-fed. Take him in the house, take good care of him, imprint on him, watch Walt Disney movies, get up with him at midnight and feed him. So he thought we were his mom for the first few months of his life. We have a license to raise deer. We own his mom, his grandma, grandpa. And so anyway, he was bottle-fed for the purpose of working a few weekends a year. We take him in this trailer, and a handful of weekends, and we travel around the country. And it's a good attraction for people to be able to see up close the number one game animal in Minnesota.
My gosh. And I must say, he's beautiful. I mean...
Yeah, he's a beautiful buck.
I can reach in and...
Yeah, a little bit. Just don't grab his antler and don't grab his ear tag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can scratch him there.
Wow. Look at the long lashes there. Hey, buddy. So you watched Disney movies when you were little. Well,
he watched Disney movies and sat on the couch, and so he's checking me for ticks right now. And
really?
Mutual grooming. He enjoys. Now watch. If I check him, I almost put him in a trance. He'll sit there and I'm like, oh, that spot feels pretty good right there. Oh, my word, that's a good spot to get rubbed.
Oh, my
gosh. Right back here feels so good. And then as soon as I stop right now and I quit this and I'm done checking him for ticks, he's going to start licking me right again because it's mutual grooming. I'm grooming him now.
Look at how still he is.
And when I quit, watch what happens when I quit now. Okay, I'm done. Your turn.
That is amazing. That's just like the chickens and making them fall asleep.
Right.
With
yeah.
This guy's a real beauty.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thanks so much, Steve.
You bet. Absolutely.
And thank you, Waldo.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. I have to say, standing right next to him, he was beautiful.
Beautiful creature.
Seeing all the long eyelashes all over the, you know, it's not just a thin line of eyelashes like we humans have. It's all over the place. It's just incredible. But, it reminded me of the olden days of Deerland.
Olden days.
When I was probably 14 years old,
sure.
One of the last times I visited Deerland or Deer Park. And at that time, it was being run by this middle-aged German couple, and their big act in Deerland was their monkeys.
Sen and the Apes.
Yeah, it was...
Never gonna fail with chimpanzees.
Kind of a weird thing, and you've seen them before.
Too much monkey business.
Too much monkey business.
I recall my last trip to, I want to say it was Deerland, and they had coin-operated 25 cents, put in your quarter, turn the handle and get a handful of seed corn.
Oh, yeah.
And then reach your hand through the fence, and here came your emaciated, kind of mangy character.
Yeah.
Licking the corn right out of your hands. At one point, I had three deer in front of me in a smallish mitt. And I thought they were going to eat my shirt. I was like, good Lord, take it easy. But,
yikes. I seem to remember the wafer cones for ice cream cones, that they filled those up with corn as well.
Wow.
And you just held that up for the deer and they made through that quick and then onto your hand.
Eat the cone, went after your fingers.
So, yeah. I did inquire when we were in Nisswa several years ago when my girls were smaller. I did ask somebody from town and say, is the Deerland still around here? Oh, no, that's been gone for years. But maybe that's okay. You just look for them as you're driving to the cabin. There goes one. You know, you don't need to feed them.
We did look a little bit at some boats too, Fudd. You were
talking
about how your family's got a powerful hankering for a new vessel.
Ooh, now see, I like the color. Look at that, the pretty deep red.
Yeah.
Black on the top. Well, this would be hot in the summer though. Look at the step on. Yeah! Oh, it's new design. Wow. It's been discussed in a few of our podcasts that maybe this is the year that the Fudd family is going to invest or finance a new boat. Because
I think I'd be better up on my sizes, but 20 foot, 26 foot, I don't know, something good sized.
Yeah, something like that. It doesn't have to be huge. I mean, now my brother, he wants to get a boat and go to several lakes. And
right.
I mean, that, you know, and some lakes are huge and you want a big boat to
make use of that boat. You bought it.
But for the most part, I would use it on the Gull River, which is only, you know, 5 miles back and forth.
Right.
So you don't need anything that big to... You know, I don't need any of those big 300 horsepower motors.
But you had talked about the joys of, say, a 90 horse.
Yeah, 90 horses would be fast enough.
You'd be pulling the kids right out of the water and up, and they'd be like hovering behind the boat 5 feet up. It'd be great.
I did try...
inner tubes.
All right, hold on a second. I have to grab a picture of the Sea Maid here.
Yes.
The Sea Maid, yeah, which gets full of water.
We always because, like to say it's the Gull River rain gauge.
Yeah, because you see the channel is right beyond our dock here, so when the boats go zipping back and forth, it just causes a lot of waves, and it just goes right into the Sea Maid.
I can't help but think, too, Fudd, with a little creativity and a well-used jigsaw,
yeah.
You could have a pilot's seat right here
I'm thinking about it.
Powering that nine-horse Mariner.
I've been YouTubing some other...
You bet.
You know, some how to modify your old boat. And I'd like to talk to my dad this year about maybe painting it something other than the forest green. I mean, it is chipping.
It's very, very woodsy. Blends right into the...
Right.
No, it doesn't. Who are we kidding?
Especially when it's in silhouette like this, you can't really see. But yeah, as you can see, there's a... Oh, here we go. That's a 9.5 horsepower Mariner. And I tried pulling my 12 and 13-year-old girls this year on an inner tube. And it kind of went okay for 5 minutes, and then it just sort of wound down. And then I told my dad about that later. Yeah, it's probably not a good idea. That's just...
Too much stress on the old motor.
It's kind of sad, and I have to admit, slightly embarrassing when I'm out there. And you got all these big boats zipping around, you know, they're 150 horsepower and 210, and I'm out in a 9.5 horsepower Mariner.
Drag a preteen around in an inner tube.
They had fun, but it just...
Drawing a heavy wake.
And of course, when we're there, and it's summer, and we're there, and the excitement of it, you know, my wife and I are sitting there going, all right, well, should we just go and get a big motor or something? But... The truth be told, the answer is always yes. Yeah.
I got to believe the CMEG could probably even handle something like a 25.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe this year it's going to be a 25 horsepower, maybe a rebuilt or something.
30 horse. If such an animal exists, I don't know. I think anything higher than like a 30, if you could find a 30 horse motor. I've never seen a 30 horse. I could be just making that up, Fudd. That could just be total hogwash
coming
out of the field. But I think anything bigger... Your boat would start doing this. Hey, hey, hey.
I suppose, you know, I wonder, you know, the Seamate, as I've said before, is from 1960. And I'm sure if I had it appraised by some old boat collector, he'd say, you know, some of these are worth several thousand dollars. Not yours.
Right.
But, well, that's the way it goes.
That's how it works.
But, yeah, that's all right. Sometimes... It makes you think, all right, well, someday, but for now, let's just see what we can do.
Get creative with the Seamate, see what you can make happen, and see who will salute.
Right.
Without a doubt. Our last piece, as we kind of walked through, Fudd, was that infamous weedless display. Well, we did see a little bit of, it's the sportsman show, if you would care to fish... Go ahead and fish. We've got this giant tank full of trout.
Yeah.
All about that big.
Yes.
Get your kids hooked into angling. Here we go. Watch one young fella pull one out of the water. Somehow it managed to lodge the hook in its rear end. Caught the thing by the rectum. Kind of darn near killed him.
Look at that.
It's just like, well, I hope he's going to take that one home with him because that thing's cool. Wow.
Did you say darn near wrecked him?
Darn near killed him. Wow-ish. Indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was kind of funny that we walked by.
I don't understand.
Fish on.
Yeah, fish on. How? Okay, a bite, I understand. How did that happen?
Well, I suppose if you're fishing in a pool like that, you're just going for the snag. Wah.
Yeah, ish. We snagged him, all right. How's your father? Ish.
So
beyond that... was the Weedless Bait Company.
That's right.
Glencoe, Minnesota.
Yeah, they're from Glencoe, Minnesota. So
home run.
Had a display
everything
done for
built
us.
In their spot there. It's kind of a pole barn garage kind of affair. They make all their own lures. They're all weedless. And they had a very cool display, I thought.
Wow, these are nice and brand new looking. So you're out of Glencoe?
Yep.
Excellent. How long has the company?
Just about 15 years.
Okay.
It's been around since the 1940s.
Oh, really?
It's over 70-year-old company. Yep.
That's awesome.
We manufacture them the same way they've been made 70 years ago. We have our two-car garage is our business. It's our manufacturing company.
It
comes with a roll of brass and he stamps everything out with every form on here.
Cool.
We hand paint them all, hand assemble everything.
That is awesome. I hope you're getting all this, Toby. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you. Al and Jan Conklin?
Yep.
Okay.
If you want a demonstration, we can do a demonstration on how they work.
Yeah. Please do.
It's a weedless spoon. This is how it's going to go through the water. The hooks are completely concealed, so you can pull it through all the weeds and all that stuff in the water.
Yeah.
Fish comes up and grabs it and opens it up.
Oh my gosh.
That's
cool. That is
so
cool.
So then to reset it, slide the hooks into those two eyes on the front of it, flip it over, the band catches the barb on the back, and you're ready to go.
Oh, wow.
So whether you're casting or trolling, you want to get it in the weeds, this will take care of it for you.
Wow.
When you set the hook on these, it springs them open.
Wow.
And
oh, my gosh.
To reset them, they're individual hooks, so there's four hooks on here. Just take one at a time, lay it right back up on the harness, and you're ready to go.
That is cool.
And I imagine we can visit you online and
absolutely.
Put in a big order someday.
Absolutely. We have a store online to
okay.
These order. We ship them. We've been shipping them all over.
That's great. I really, really think this is neat.
Thank you.
All right. Thank
you. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
So I'd like to try those. I consider myself a customer now, and we'll maybe get some footage later this year of giving it a try.
That would be fun. Try out the Weedless Bait Company's Weedless Spoons and the Mighty Gull, possibly even bringing in a smallmouth bass.
Maybe, or at least a northern or something.
Right.
But let's just take a short break, and
then we'll
come back. And I don't know, talk about what's next. What's in the future?
What's next in the future of this fabulous video podcast?
That's right.
Which you can also hear as an audio podcast, but...
That's right.
A new approach.
That's right.
Live action.
Just you can say, well, who are these guys? And I think the fire needs another log. I could use warm up my coffee. So we'll be right back.
With today's busy lifestyle, it's difficult to spend as much time in the great outdoors as we'd like. As a result, many suffer from fatigue, depression, or even seasonal indigestion disorder. Now Up Nordco can help you change that stale office atmosphere into a wooded wilderness with campfire magic incense. Let the aromatherapy of Up Nordco's specially designed incense take you back up to the cabin, where a morning of good fishing was followed by a breakfast of eggs and sizzling sausage links over an open fire. Later, roasting marshmallows with the kids. Even the mischievous behavior of your bored children is nostalgic. Yes, the campfire is one of the most ancient and powerful ways to commune with nature. Now you can enjoy the great outdoors wherever you are.
Up Nordco, everything you need for the great outdoors.
Made in China.
Welcome back. It was a nice short break. We got the fire roaring again. Good flames that go on. The coffee is refilled. And I gotta tell you, Fudd, I feel like there's a trip back up. You know, sadly this year was cut short. I picked up a bug from one of the kids I teach, and they were sharing the wealth. And feverish and crazy, and time to go home because I can barely see straight. But we're going back up. We always do.
That's right.
And the intention this year, past year, was, by God, we're going to try every lure in that box. We're going to catch the lunker. Something's coming out of the Gull River that just defies imagination and breaks a river record, possibly a state record. And I'm going to throw it out there. I've owned this Rebel since I was about 12 years old, possibly younger, not even sure. Very, very glittery, very... blue and silver, beautiful, two treble hooks. One of the hooks is even bent, which would lend people to believe I really hooked into something.
Yeah, you must.
My God. Yeah, I think I did. I think it was a log or possibly a rock. Maybe this was the seat of my dad's pants. I'm not sure. Good Lord, I set the hook. He'd have been all right had I not tried to clean him and fill him out. No, we got out of the slacks and he was just fine. But this will catch something. On the next trip up, or my name isn't Bjorn Lloydsted. I'm going to put some kind of delicious bait on one of these trebles, or both. And I'm not going to stop with the Rebel until I have landed a fish.
All right.
It could be a bowfin, it could be a dogfish, which I think is the same thing, so a little redundant. Pout, I don't care.
rather not be a pout. Wrapping around your armpit sounds kind of disgusting. But I look at this and I'm just, it wobbles. It sits on the top. It moves. It's glittery. It's delicious. I'm That's tempted right now. Come today. Something's going to bite on the rebel. And you will be there to see it happen. 2019 may be the year of the rebel.
Year of the rebel.
Something large. And
I like the sound of it.
And friable. We caught on the rebel. I might even try a bite of it.
Oh, really?
I might.
In fact,
I will go out on a limb.
I think
and say,
you have
what,
to.
I,
if you
I have
catch
to.
A fish on
you
that.
You caught it, you got to eat part of it.
You got to eat a bite.
Can I put it in a gluten-free bun and slather it with dill relish, perhaps?
Maybe.
Hot chili. Chili fish. I'm not very good at filleting. Are you good fillet?
Well, I can do
guy.
It.
My dad used to have this big board with a huge clip on the end.
Oh, yeah, I've got a new one of those. I just got myself.
Put the tail under the clip so it's not going to be flipping and flapping as you drive home that point and
my gosh,
stab it right through the melon.
Yikes, well.
Start filleting it out. I am intrigued, I got to say, by this. This is, and look at that forward hook. It's not a treble. It's just two hooks and a little bent.
Yeah.
Something somewhere. Must have liked, like you said, the Looney Tunes approach. Tweety Birds, Sparkly Cousin. Why not have a chaw? I dare you. Absolutely. I think a little Nightcrawler, a little small minnow.
Piece of hot dog.
Piece of rotten hot dog. Maybe a leech.
Or a corn niblet, I don't know.
Well, I had a lot of success with small hula poppers and whole kernel corn.
Wow.
Off my neighbor's dock on Daggett Lake, which you can sort of see behind us here. Painting just slightly out of the screen.
Don, let's get a close-up of that. That's a painting.
Come on, Don.
Done by Bjorn himself.
I did that. I was feeling reminiscent. I wept openly while I painted it. You know the story. But, I brought my neighbor up to the cabin, and he and I, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. High sun, hotter than blazes. We stood at the end of, they had a long dock, went about 2 sections out beyond ours, where the Charlie's Angels often hung out and waved at all passersby. They were gone that weekend, and we knew their family well, and they wouldn't mind, so my neighbor and I, Scott, he grabbed a rod, I grabbed a rod, we put a little hula popper on each of our leaders, brought down a can of corn, got into a school of panfish.
Ooh.
And we threw them all back, because my dad was pretty clear, if you're not going to fillet them, I'm not either. So you decide what you're going to do here. We probably caught 30 panfish over the course of an hour.
Wow.
And then the sun got a little lower, and or they got wise to what was going on. Hey, this hurts. Stop biting on that.
We're out of here.
Yeah. Couple, pound-sized crappies. It's good day's action, but...
That would be fun.
Without a doubt. Now, I will say this much. Leeches. Do you ever use a leech?
I used to for walleye fishing on Osakis when we were fishing deep for walleyes.
Did they get you much?
I don't remember having a lot of luck with walleyes, but we caught them.
Yeah, the leech did the job.
Yeah, how about yourself?
Well, I get so freaked out by past horror stories of swimming, coming out of the lake to find a leech fully engorged, attached to your foot, shin, freaking out. They always say, put salt on it, put rubbing alcohol on it, let it dry up, fall off. Oh, gosh, no. I would just grab the thing, pull, throw it up on shore, let it die in the sun, and then bleed like a stuck hog, probably attracting more leeches. But there was a gentleman for years at Burnside Lake up in Ely, where we spend a lot of our summers. And he swore by the leech. The leech is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get bass in Burnside, you're going to go deeper, try to catch some of the larger game fish. He swore by leeches, but he insisted. There were 2 things you were going to do before you put that first leech on the hook. You had to kiss it.
What?
And I would watch this guy, and he'd kiss this leech and then stick it through with a hook, and I'd say, wow, talk about a hot and cold relationship. And he had a lot of luck. But then the other thing, too, is whatever that big fish was you hauled in on that leech, when you got it off the hook, guess what you did to that fish?
You had to kiss the fish.
Big slobbery smooch right on that fish's head. Get the fish slime off your lips and
Well, I know you do that to the eel pout and the
oof
for the annual eel pout festival.
Oh, kissing a pout, ish.
That'll be coming up soon, and Bjorn and I will happily not probably
go. We're
not
going to be in Walker for the eel pout festival. That's a rough and ready brigade, and my hat's off to them. God bless them.
Seems like quite a festival, but
absolutely, they enjoy themselves. There's plenty going on. People even bowl.
Oh, that's
frozen
right.
Eel pout,
yes.
As the ball and frozen eel pout on the pins, and it's a scene. But maybe a little more action than I'm ready for at this point. I'm kind of a lazy going kind of guy that likes a cup of coffee versus.
All right, we'll watch somebody else's videos.
They can have fun with it. It's a huge event.
It is.
Draws from across the upper Midwest. People love the Eel Pout Festival in beautiful Walker, Minnesota. Here you go.
Have fun. Enjoy
it. I won't be there. But maybe you will. Maybe you'll call in and tell us all about your eel pout slaying experiences. But,
yes, indeed. Well, wow. Kissing the leech and then kissing the fish.
Kissing the fish. Amen. Well, amen. You don't have to kiss the lure.
Oh.
That could
be dangerous.
That could get real ugly. But, yeah. There you have it.
Excellent.
Well, maybe a good place to sign off for this particular edition. Hope you enjoyed the clip footage from the 49th annual Sportsman's
Show
here in the Twin Cities. Beautiful, under the glow of the number one shadow of the St. Paul Cathedral.
Our special thanks to Toby Weiss.
Indeed.
And his dad, Dave Weiss, for being the crew.
And they crewed it up well.
And capturing the magic at the Sportsman's Show.
You bet.
So thanks to you guys, and also Mike Leon for hanging out with us. That made
adding
it fun.
Adding his 10 cents worth, of course, a huge vote of confidence and thanks to Steve O'Hearn.
Yes,
going through the tackle box and giving us the running price tag of everything I could have. You know, if that person was there and I could have laid all those out and said, "Cash on the barrel head, baby, put that money in my hot little hand," I would have walked out a century note richer. But
I think it's more fun to have these cool old things.
There's a lot of stories. Each lure, there's a lot of stories, and perhaps more yet.
Right.
You know, history yet to be written.
I sure wish I still had my chipmunk jitterbug that could have had Steve look at that and say, "Oh, yeah, they made chipmunk jitterbugs back in 1976.
You paid 1976, a dime for that at a garage sale. And,
yeah,
it's
I
worth
did.
$6,000, right. Fun.
Some of them are, not yours.
But yours is worth a quick comment and now get out of here.
50 cents, yeah.
That's beautiful. Now get out of here. All right. Well.
Excellent.
There you have it. An additional 10 minutes worth of cabin country reminiscing.
That's right.
And maybe we'll have more to tell you about in future when the weather's a little warmer and there's a giant fish in FUD's mitts. Rapala knife. Rapala? They make
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fillet knives.
I've got
a flexible blade. Do your darndest and I'll do my darndest trying to choke that turkey down.
But right, at least one bite.
Well, I've eaten pickled herring, and that. maybe a fresh.
My
fish.
Wife likes pickled herring.
Does she?
My dad likes pickled herring. I've never been a fan.
I'm a Norwegian American, and I think I'm the only one in the country that does not glibly
enjoy
swallow
a sour
pickled herring.
Rough piece of
oily. And it just keeps coming back. Oh, there it is.
Where's
again.
That Norwegian national anthem?
Yeah, somewhere. Anyway, thanks again for joining us, Cabin Country, coming at you again. We've downed our pot of Northwoods blend, and by gad, we'll look forward to seeing you again. Hopefully with some fish stories or another topic that has come to mind.
Yet to be determined.
Yet to be determined. There's plenty yet. Cabin Country coming your way. Don, if you wouldn't mind running those credits, we'll see you next time. That's a great throat noise, man. Oh my goodness.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.